1 Samuel 13. I should actually backtrack. This last week, one of my boys, I came home and one of the questions he asked, he said, "What is the Purple Heart?" I just stopped back and think, what's this young chap wondering, what about a Purple Heart? And last night I was talking to Cindy and I said, what about inspired him to ask about a Purple Heart? And, well, she said, I read him a story of John F. Kennedy. And the story of him being a brave individual. In 1943, John F. Kennedy was manning a ship, and a Japanese destroyer cut their boat in two, and they ended up, his whole crew was, it was dark, it was during the night, and their whole crew was, of 11 people, were put out to sea, out in the water. They ended up having to swim for four miles to make it to shore. And it took them 11 hours to make it to shore. And he was the captain of the ship that he was part of. And he was the one, there was one wounded soldier in there, and he ended up towing him the 11 miles to shore. And one of his, in his bravery, what he did, he received the Purple Heart. And one of the unique things that he did is they got to the island, I forget what the island was called, but when they got to the island, in order for him to get a message across, he scribed onto a coconut shell of a coconut and put on there that a message that the Allies could pass off to his people, to the American people, saying that we're 11 of us, we need to be rescued, we're at a certain spot. Till the day he died, that little coconut shell was a paperweight on his desk. And because of what he had done, his bravery of taking his men and sacrificing himself to save one of the injured soldiers, he received the Purple Heart. I had to do a little bit of research because when he asked me about the Purple Heart, I wasn't quite sure. What is he referring to? And that was a Medal of Honor that he got. And we look through the scripture today. We're going to look at a couple of different verses. And in the scripture, it talks a lot about honor. There in the scripture, it talks about husbands, honor your wife. It talks a lot about children honoring your parents. It doesn't really matter where you are in your lot in life. You are called to be a man or a woman that's going to honor somebody that is in authority. All of us have people in our lives of authority. They're put in a position, if we like it or not, we need to show honor to those individuals in our lives. 1 Samuel 13 talks about Saul. After he was appointed king, he fought the Philistines. He went to war. They fought a great war. After that, the Philistines, they gathered themselves together. And in chapter 13, it talks about, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight the Israelite with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as a sand which is on the seashore in multitudes. We're talking a lot of people. They came up to fight against Saul. But Saul was given direction. Saul was given instruction by Samuel to wait before you go to war. I am going to come and see you. I'll be there in 7 days, or I'll try to be, or I'm not quite sure exactly which words Samuel said, but he said, I will come in about 7 days. But when Samuel failed to show up on the appointed seventh day, what did Saul do? Saul, he went ahead and he called upon, I think, the priest, I think it was. Let me just go back. I'll just better be sure of who he called. And Samuel, it just says, and Saul said, bring hither the burnt offerings to me and peace offerings. So he went ahead. Before Samuel showed up, he was given instruction. Samuel was appointed of God. And he went ahead and he sacrificed these offerings himself. Saul took upon himself the authority without God's blessing upon his life, which led to his downfall. Because of him dishonoring the authority of the prophet, and when he undermined Samuel's authority, he as well undermined God's authority. And I have seen in people's lives, people who have undermined authority that God has placed in their life. And the consequences for that is it brought a lot of heartaches upon their lives. And I can say that from experience in my life, the times that I undermined my parents' authority, when I went through my stage of life, when I was younger, thinking about how my dad or my parents do not understand what I'm going through and what I wanted to do, I undermined my dad's authority, and that brought a lot of heartaches. And there was consequences that I ended up having to pay, which was a marred relationship through my growing years with my dad. That was me undermining a God-given authority, a God-appointed person in my life that I needed to listen to. And when God's appointed authority is undermined, you will see business failures, businesses will fall apart, relationships will fall apart, parents and children's families, they fall apart. There is church splits because someone is trying to undermine a God-appointed person in their life. And I'm not saying that's always easy to do, but God has called us to a place of giving honor to someone that he has put into our life. And that's what we want to talk about, the subject of honor. Honor is a principle of life. And I'm not sharing this morning with all of us this morning. I'm not sharing as a corrective measure. I'm not sharing that I see there's a lot of dishonor happening among us. But I believe this morning, honor is the foundational measure, because we live in a society today that undermines authority. Honor is not something that is recognized as something that individual society does not want. They don't believe that they are in a position that they need to give honor to someone else. And that is a breakdown of relationships. It's a breakdown of how God structured things. When honor is not given, and we look at that when we listen to debates, we listen to government leaders talking about each other. We can talk about maybe some of our experiences, maybe in church life. Maybe we can talk about when in society, you work a lot with men. Like for myself, I work a lot with men that are doing, it's kind of a, in the construction, oil field kind of occupation, you deal with a lot of people. They, instead of honoring their spouse, they tend to say these degrading comments that you know that it comes out of their life, that when it comes out of their life, there must be something festering in them, and that breaks down at the relationship between a husband and wife. Society today does not believe, or it seems like we're moving, our culture is moving away from the honor culture. And today we want to look at how honor, what the effects of honor in the home, honor in the church, honor in our schools, the effects that it has on us. Because we're people that we can become influenced pretty easily. And I just want to say this morning is, I want each one of us to be influenced in a really positive way, in a way that our lives will show that we honor and we respect God-given authority. In Romans 13, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And here when it talks about fear to whom fear, that's talking about respect to whom respect is due. And I think there's a great difference between, I shouldn't say a great difference. There is a difference between respect and the word respect and the word honor. Respect is something that you can earn. And it can be earned. Honor is something that can be given. It is something that you give. It's not something that is earned. We may respect a person for what they do. We may not respect a person. Maybe we cannot respect their attitude. We cannot respect their actions. We cannot respect their idea or maybe their motive. But that does not mean we can get away from honoring that individual. If they have the authority that they deserve honor, it is a requirement, a scriptural requirement in our life, that we need to give honor to an office or a position. And that is our parents. Maybe the policeman that is being nasty, maybe he's pushing for power, maybe he is pushing his weight around, and that's the last thing you feel like doing is showing honor to him. But he is placed there, God has placed him in authority. Romans 13 talks about that. That's God-given authority. And my prayer this morning is that I may change the way I value people today. I want to change the way I value my spouse, my wife. Maybe you can say for your husband. The way I value my children, the way I value our pastors, the way I value Brother Lyndon and Brother Jesse, and the authority that they have been given, a God-given position in my life, I need to show honor to that. I want to change the way I show honor to my parent, my mom, because she is the mother figure in my life. And according to the scripture, honor thy father and thy mother. And honoring God is my, am I honoring God the way I ought to? So I want to challenge each one of you this morning. Turn with me to Genesis 1. And you're probably wondering, why are you turning to Genesis 1 and why are we talking about a challenge? Because honor is about choosing to live your life to please God. And God has asked us today to honor. So Genesis 1, verse 27. Genesis 27, it says, so God... So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. This is where it starts. How we should view those around us as human beings as being highly valuable. Here it says, God created man. He created each woman, each man, each child in the image of God. And what value do we put, or what value do we attach to God? What value do we attach to our children? What value do we attach to our spouse? What value do we attach to ourselves? And the value we attach these things to, you can, maybe each one of us has a different list or a longer list than what I just said. But it will greatly determine the success or failures of our relationship on the value you put upon the people that God has placed in your life. Honor recognizes value. Honor does not set value. So if God has placed somebody in your life, you need to recognize it as being valuable, and you need to honor that. And I want to look at in Matthew 13. Turn with me to Matthew 13 if you care to. And this is pretty thought-provoking chapter, or these couple of verses that we're gonna look at. And it talks about the spirit of honor. In Matthew 13:57. Matthew 13:57. And then we're going to go to 58 as well. And they were offended in him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And you're probably wondering, what's Jesus trying to say here? A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. So one thing I want to look at is if you want to limit honor in your life, and if you don't have the spirit of honor, you're limiting what God will do for you. It affects your life the way you show honor. If you have a spirit of honor or a spirit of dishonor, it's going to affect your life. We live in a society where it's almost kind of cool to show disrespect to people that are in authority. And that's sad. That's really, really sad. Because we're growing up in a generation where someone that is older than us, or someone that has influence on us, or somebody that doesn't view things the same way we view things, that all of a sudden qualifies me to dishonor this person. And that contradicts what the scripture talks about. We need to have a spirit of honor in our life. I grew up, I should actually say, I was forced in my young years as a young boy to show honor. I was forced to. And I should say, not only forced, but I was also taught to show honor. My dad made a very clear point in showing me as a young man that I needed to honor people. I needed to honor other people's possessions that they had. I needed to honor their property. I needed to be, honor my school teachers. I needed to honor people in authority. I had to honor grandparents. I had to show honor to my parents. I was taught that at a really young age. Because why is this something that I am passionate about is because society today does not recognize the position that parents have or the influence that parents have in your life or the authority that somebody has been given or the position that they have been given. Society today does not recognize that as a God-given authority in the position that they have. It is possible to dishonor people. It is a possibility to dishonor leaders or school teachers, people of authority, even when you do what you've been asked to do. And you're saying, like, how does that work? By your comment that you respond back to and your attitude in which you're doing things. You can still do the things that you've been asked to do, but you're doing that with showing a lot of dishonor to that individual. So, for example, if somebody asked me to go, somebody in authority is asking me to do something, and I make a comment that absolutely makes no sense, and I roll my eyes at that individual. Do you think I showed some sense of honor to that individual if they asked me to do something? That was a spirit of dishonor that I showed to that individual. And showing dishonor has lots of consequences, a lot of consequences. And you're actually limiting what God can do in your life, even though it's somebody that you don't necessarily like. Now I want to go to Matthew 13. We're going to read the verses that lead up to this, verse 57. And Matthew 13, 53 to 58. And it says this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country," this is he's traveling to his own people, "he taught them in the synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and this mighty and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother James and Joseph? And Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things?" They're questioning him. Verse 57, it says, "And they were offended in him." So they took offense at Jesus. "And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So what I was trying to say is where it limits you is even when somebody is of authority in your life, like Jesus did here. Jesus, he said in verse 57, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So Jesus is saying, I can go somewhere else. And I am honored and I'm respected somewhere else. But when I come into my own country, my own people, they don't honor me. So he says, and he did not many mighty works there. So it kind of limits what God's going to do for your life. So if you, let's say for instance, if there is, let's say a pastor comes and talks to you about something. I'm just giving this as an illustration. If a pastor comes and talks to you about something in your life, you don't necessarily really like the pastor, and you kind of wonder. You question him, and you don't really like it. You don't honor the position that he's been given. You're not going to receive from him, and it can be an older woman, whatever authority it is, maybe your grandma, your mom, or whoever it is, somebody in authority. You won't receive that blessing. Because you're limiting it, because you don't have the spirit of honor flowing out of your heart to someone else. It won't reciprocate back to you. Because that's what happened here in Jesus' time. Jesus said, I can go anywhere else, and you can look at, if we look at the previous chapter in chapter 12, Jesus was just done. He healed a multitude of people. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. It talks about all these wonderful things that Jesus did. But he's saying, here I come back to my own country. And it says, I did not do many works. Why? Because if they did not have faith, because they lacked belief, and they lacked to show honor to when they took offense to him. Who is this man that is speaking to us? And that's what I'm kind of burdened about our society today. Where is that the sense of respect and honor to a person that's older than us or somebody that God has put in place? The interesting fact is, when you don't necessarily like that individual, it could be influential, or may I shouldn't say, but a spiritual leader that is leading a person or leading the congregation, and he can share with you, and you don't really honor or don't respect him, that the other people around you will receive the blessings that God will pour back out. But when you don't have that sense of honor, that God-given position that he has, it's going to limit what you will receive. The other ones around you might all receive the blessings of God. I have to think of 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. It says this: but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch under prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And sins refer to here is referring to faults. All of us have faults. All of us are human. There is things about us that are not very likable. But it says that even though we have these differences and quirks that we sometimes kind of can get on us, can get a nerve, they rub on us differently. But it says here, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And sins is not talking about things that are are contrary to the scripture. That's not the sins that it's talking about. It's overlooking the faults in each other's life. And we can overlook faults in others. We will be able to show honor where honor is due. But we are human. We tend to base our value on people's abilities and people's intelligence and people's attitudes, on people's status, the people's income, and how successful they are. And there's a lot of things, and we tend to maybe value the people that stand on the same page or on the same subjects as I do and that agree with the way I view things. But Matthew 5, it talks about also what love. For if ye love that which ye love, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans so? It takes effort in cultivating a spirit of honor to others. It takes an effort. It takes work. It takes effort. It's not easy to do sometimes. God hears the spirit of dishonor in our life. When people lose their passion for Christ, when the spirit of dishonor is adopted in our life, when we quit showing honor to the people that God has placed in authority, when we lose honor for God, we can't receive what God has gifted them to share with us. And I must say, along with that, is We need to honor the office that someone has. Our boss, our grandparents, our parents, church leaders. We need to honor their office. We need to honor their authority, even though sometimes showing respect is difficult, especially in a time where we see failures in somebody's life. But honor is something God has placed them in your life, and we need to honor them in the spirit of, like what was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, in a spirit of humility. Even when we don't agree with that person. That does not give us, even when we disagree with something, does not give us the right to dishonor someone in our life. And I want to say along with that is honor has everything to do with you and the effects that it will have on you. Honor does affect your life. And like I heard a while back, see this last week, I was listening to a sermon, and the fellow used the, hopefully I can say this correctly, but the fellow used the term that sometimes about feeling, having feelings towards others. He said, it is, your feelings are kind of like your children. You nurture your feelings and you take care of your feelings, but you don't allow your children to make major decisions in your life. It's the same way, you cannot allow your feelings about a situation to make some major decisions in your life. Just remember that. We need to honor, even though sometimes it's hard to show honor, because it has everything to do about you. If we want to raise children that know how to honor people, people that are made in the image of God, then we need to show our children how we treat people. We treat people with respect. We treat people with honor. And our children will watch us, how we respond to our employees or our employers. They know how we will respond, whatever place they've been put. They'll know how we speak about our community. My prayer is this morning that the spirit of honor is going to be present here with us today. I had to think of the story the story in Genesis. I got to think, Genesis 9, I believe it is, where after the Noah and his family get off the ark, and how after they got off, they got on dry land, and Noah started his vineyard. He was a farmer. He started farming, and he had he made some drink, and it says, I think it's Genesis 9, and he got drunk with wine that he had made. And one of his sons, Ham, he went into his father's tent, and he seen his father naked. And he turned around, and he mockingly went and told his brothers about what he had seen and what he was talking about. He was degrading this father figure, the father figure in his life. And how that broke down, and it would, like, from the ancient Hebrew, if I remember correctly, the ancient Hebrew, how it said Ham was very pleased with the news that he could share with his brothers what he had seen. And what did his other two brothers, I think it was Japheth and, oh man, maybe somebody else can help me out. Japheth and what was the other fellow's name? Shem? That's right, Shem and Japheth. When the brother came up to him and talked to him, they went and took, it says they took sheets or towels over their shoulders and they backed into the tent and put it upon their father to cover him from his nakedness. And what I'm just saying, and what I'm just trying, and what I'm trying to say is, the difference between the son that showed honor to his to his dad, to his father figure in his life, the effects that it had on them in the future, and the effects that it had on him for doing what he did. So if you think you can go through life and dishonoring people around you, and you think that it's only going to stop in your life, don't be fooled. That stuff is handed down. Because our children are very much influenced by, they are by nature, they'll be influenced that way. So, and to see the effects that happened, it was a cursed people on Ham. Ham's Cain was cursed because what had taken place, it hands down. So if we take a lot of joy in being able to talk and degrade about other people, it's going to affect your life more than it will affect the person that you're talking about. And that is the story of, in Genesis 9 is a clear picture of that, is am I going to be a person that's going to show honor to people that God has placed in my life, that God has put in a position of authority in my life? Am I going to just go show honor to them? In my prayers this morning, that the spirit of honor is going to be present here with us today. Let's bow our